The clock just goes too fast. And of course, it goes faster on Sunday mornings than any other time of the week. You know that too, right? Okay, you don't know that. It does for me. But I gave the first service a chance to share, and I don't want to leave you out, because you know this was the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, right? And a lot of you were in different prayer services here or there. You maybe were at the school, you maybe were at your city hall, you maybe were at around a flagpole, you maybe were at a church. But there was a whole lot of folks praying on Thursday for the National Day of Prayer. Some of you were involved in that. And in the first service, I wanted a couple people to share, and I'll share with you one of what happened. One guy, he's a truck driver. He was over the road, and he was in Indiana, and he called back to his wife, who was coming to the prayer service at the city hall in Staples. And she got there, and we began our prayer service there. And I got a text on my phone, and he said, "Jim, I just called him to my wife, and she's going to the prayer service there. And I was just asking God, could there be something I could find here right as I'm driving down the interstate in Indiana?" And he's driving down, not 30 seconds, he shared this. Was it 30 seconds or 10 seconds? It was quick. Not 10 or 30 seconds after he said, "Father, I'd sure like to pray someplace." Did he see a church gathering, people all around the cross? He hits the old air brakes, and out goes the whoosh of the air brakes. And the people all look towards him. He's stopping the big rig. And they welcomed him over, and he began to pray in that service right there along the freeway. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I told you last week, brothers and sisters, when God's people pray, amazing things happen. Amen. And so when you're seeking the face of God, amazing things will happen. And another lady shared this morning, you know, she said, "I was praying and I was fasting. You know, I challenged you to fast last week, didn't I, for the National Day of Prayer in a couple more days if you could." And she said to the first service, "You know, I was fasting on the National Day of Prayer, and God put it on my heart to pray for my neighbors. Neighbors that I don't necessarily get along with." Isn't that just like God? It took us to a point of fasting and prayer, and God said to her, "You know what, sister? You got a neighbor there that you haven't been getting along with so good. I want you to pray for her today." Isn't that just like God? Glory to God. Glory to God. We serve a big God, brothers and sisters. And He wants to answer your prayers. He wants His people to get serious and seek His face. And amazing things happen. We looked at the story in Esther last week. Amazing things happen when His people seek His face and fast and pray. And I know He's not done yet, because people have been praying all week. People have been seeking His face in the National Day of Prayer. People have been fasting. And I know He's not done yet. He's a God of miracles. Heart-transforming miracles, life-changing miracles, body-healing miracles. Amen? He is a God of miracles, and He's not done yet, but He wants His people to seek His face and pray. So just because the National Day of Prayer is over doesn't mean we stop, right? We keep seeking His face. We keep praying. We keep fasting from time to time, and we watch the hand of God. Thank you. You know what? Today is Mother's Day, and even though the message is not about moms today, I do want to share something with you that somebody sent to me about mamas. It's called the Mama Test. I was walking with my 4-year-old daughter. She picked up something off the ground and started to put it in her mouth. I took the item away from her and I asked her not to do that. "Why, Mama?" my daughter asked. "Because it's been on the ground. You don't know where it's been. It's dirty and it probably is full of germs," I replied. At this point, my daughter looked at me with total admiration, and she asked, "Mama, how do you know all this stuff? You're so smart." Mom says, "I was thinking quickly and replied, all moms know this stuff. It's on the Mama Test. You have to know it, or they don't let you be a mama." We walked along in silence for 2 or 3 minutes, but she was evidently pondering this new information. And all of a sudden, she beamed and she said, "Oh, I get it. So if you don't pass the test, you have to be the dad." I see ladies laughing, and I don't see as many men laughing. But I will bet on one thing. I'll bet I'll get an email from somebody for Father's Day. You know what? God's design is daddy and mommy. And families, children, what a blessed design it is. Brothers and sisters, as I mentioned to you, I'm just so blessed by what you have done this last week and praying and fasting. I have been greatly encouraged by you. You've told me on emails, and you've told me on Facebook, and you've told me on phone calls, and I've seen you in person and your prayer and fasting. And I just want to say thank you for being faithful to the Father. To the Father. Because it's Jesus that said, when you fast. And I just want to say thank you. I also want to touch this morning on commandment number 9. Those of you that have been around here a while, you know we're going through the commandments. Even though we've had a couple of times when we didn't study the commandments, we are going to today. I don't know why, other than this is what God has laid on my heart. I had worked up a Mother's Day message and God changed my heart. And so we're going to talk about commandment number 9. And I trust he did that for a reason. Now, maybe that reason was at first service, maybe it's at second service, but I trust he knows best. So we are going to look at commandment number 9. It's really quite simple. It comes from Deuteronomy 5:20. It says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay? We've learned about 8 other commandments, and I hope that you that have been here have got those tucked away in your minds. And if you don't have them tucked away in your minds, I hope that you'll be encouraged to read Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5 and recognize again what these commandments are. But this one is really quite simple. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And bearing false witness against your neighbor is simply making stuff up against them. Lying. It is simply exaggerating, stretching the truth. It is bearing false witness. It's just that. Adam Clark in his commentary says the 9th commandment against false testimony, perjury, lying, etc. He says, thou shalt not bear false witness, says not only false oaths to deprive a man of his life or of his right are here prohibited, but all, listen now, all whispering, tale-bearing, and slander. All of a sudden, as I've been indicating through these 10 commandments, it's not like a checklist. Yeah, I can check that off, Jim, because I'm not a murderer. We recognize that that starts in our heart, doesn't it? Anger, bitterness, resentment, and we looked at other things like adultery, and yeah, I can check that off, Jim, but we found that it's further. It's in our mind. It's in our heart, and we see again today, it's not just, Jim, I haven't lied. Check that one off. Maybe I have slandered somebody. Maybe I have been backbiting or whispering or tale-bearing about them. These fall under this command also. Adam Clark goes on to say, suppressing the truth when known. Suppressing the truth when known and not getting that out. You know the truth, and you know the Bible says the truth will set you free, and yet we continue to suppress that truth is a form of breaking commandment number 9. He goes on to say, by the term neighbor, any human being is intended, whether he rank among our enemies or our friends. And so you might say, Jim, I got this neighbor that we just ain't getting along. I got this neighbor over here that this and that and the other thing. But the Bible says, when you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, it doesn't matter if it's a good neighbor or one you ain't getting along with. It's still the same. It's still lying. It's still breaking the 9th command. And so let me tell you quick, and we don't have a whole lot of time this morning, but let me tell you quick about a little story from Acts chapter 5 about this topic called lying. Let me give you a little setting from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 in verses 32 to 37, the believers were coming together in miraculous ways. The believers were selling some of their possessions, selling some of their land, bringing it to the disciples' feet, laying it at their feet, and saying, here, give to this person that hasn't found their way lately. And so I think you know that story if you read through it. You know what it is. So there was this multitude of believers that were bringing together their goods and their possessions as they sold them, lying it at the feet of the disciples so that they might distribute to the needy. That's the setting in Acts 4. I'm not going to read it for you. I'm going to start right from Acts 5. Here's where we'll pick the story up. Excuse me. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now let me describe for you what is happening here so you get the gist of it. I use the scenario of a $20 bill this morning. I think that's easiest. They had sold a piece of land. Say it's a $20 bill's worth of land. They had conspired in their mind, okay, Sapphira, all right, Ananias, let's take it to Peter and say we got $10 for it. We'll keep back $10. We'll give him the 10, tell him that's what we got. And so they're dealing with a sum of money, and they're giving up another, a different sum that they perceived and conspired to say, this is what we got. So you with me? Let's just use the 10 and the 20 figure. Excuse me. But Peter said, as they brought a certain part and laid it at his feet, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? In other words, it was your land. Everybody knows that. It was your prerogative to do what you would with it. After it was sold, was not it in your own control? It was yours again to do what you would like with it. But they conceived this thing in their heart to say to Peter, here's what we sold it for, when in reality they kept some back for themselves and said, let's tell Peter this is what we sold it for. And let me make the point here that I've been making over and over through these commandments, brothers and sisters. We can fool some of the people some of the time, but we're not fooling God any of the time. Amen? It doesn't matter which commandment we look at when we look down through the list. We might fool somebody sometime, but we're not fooling God. And they weren't fooling God in this scenario. Ananias and Sapphira had a little conceiving going on. They had a little plot going on. And God knew exactly what they were doing. And God impressed upon Peter, he knew exactly what they were doing. And Peter said, you have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Do you see, brothers and sisters, what happened? This was, we would just say, Jim, this was just a little old lie. But in this little old lie, and he was dead. Look at what else happened. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. He was asking her, okay, we got the 20-10 analogy. He was asking her, have you sold it for $10? Because that's the figure that he was given, hypothetically, that's what we're working with this morning. Because that's the figure, Ananias, have you sold it, Sapphira, for $10? You know what he was doing? He was giving her an opportunity to come clean. And that's what God will do for us. He'll give us an opportunity to come clean. Peter says, tell me whether you sold the land for this much. And it would be easy for her just to go along and say, yes, that's what it was, and that's exactly what she did. She also had the opportunity to come clean and said, no, you know what, Peter? That's not the right amount. Let me come clean with you. Let me tell you the truth. It was really $20. And he was giving her an opportunity. And as I thought about this scenario of trying to deceive and lying and false witness, I thought about this. Just because your spouse, in this case it was a husband and wife team, just because your spouse or maybe your boss or maybe your friend lies does not make it okay for me to also. Does not make it okay for me to come along in that ploy. I know people in business, I was in business a long time, that have said to their employees, you know what, this may not be completely above board, but just work with me here. This is what I want you to do. That's lying, and God knows when we're lying. Brothers and sisters, we might fool some people some of the time, but we're not fooling God. Yes, she said it was for so much. Basically, she was saying, yes, it was for $10. And Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are now at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear, the Bible says, came upon all the church and upon all who had heard these things. You say, "Jim, isn't that a little extreme?" Listen to me for a second. Those of you that have seen The Truth Project, you have heard from Del Tackett. And Del Tackett was referring to lying one night in The Truth Project. And he would ask us, as we listened to him in The Truth Project seminar, he would ask us, "Why did God establish a command that says, don't be lying?" And he answered his own question. He said, "Because it goes against the very nature of who God is to lie. God has no lie in Him. God has no ability to lie." And so he says he give us this commandment because there's nothing about God that lies. Nor does he want his people to get into that rut either. Let me give you a couple more verses before we close. Revelation 21:8. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars." That's quite a list. And then we get to, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's heavy stuff, isn't it? That's serious stuff. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the same as I've been telling you with the other commands, there is forgiveness of sin when we repent. God is a God who is willing and wanting and desiring to forgive. And so if I've been caught up in one of these infractions, say it's lying, maybe it's just what I do, there is forgiveness of sin when we repent. Is not the Bible true when it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin"? Glory to God. There is forgiveness of sin. We don't have to end up in life in one of these categories in 21:8 of Revelation. We don't have to come to the end of life and be considered a liar and bound for hell. There is forgiveness of sin. That's good news. That's very good news. I mentioned earlier, intentionally withholding information from my spouse, be it finances, be it some part of my life, is lying to her. Withholding information from the government. We talked about stealing from them in our tax time. Withholding information from them is lying to them. Making something up against my neighbor, whether I like him or whether I don't, is false witness when I've made it up. Whispering, tale-bearing, slander breaks command 9. I've been in the workaday world a long time in my life. Recording 8 hours, check when I've worked 7, is lying. And the boss can lie to the employee too. We must also be honest when we're in charge. Half-truths, brothers and sisters, are no truths. You still with me? Garden of Eden. Let me give you one quick scenario. Garden of Eden. What's the devil tell Eve? "You shall not die." When God said, "Adam, do not eat of this fruit, lest you surely die." What's the adversary do? He comes along and said, "Eve, come on. You ain't going to die." Half-truths are no truths. They died spiritually, dead in sin, separated from God. Half-truths, brothers and sisters, are no truths at all. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Little white lies. Ever heard of them? Stretching the truth just a little bit. My uncle told me one time, he pastored a church for 40, 45 years, and he told me one time, long before I was ever a pastor, if it's not right, Jim, it's wrong. Not bad advice. Fairly simple, fairly to the point. If it's not right, it's wrong. The same goes with commandment number 9. And so let me conclude with this, friends. Would you rather be a follower of him who cannot lie, or would you rather be a follower of the father of lies? You say, Jim, there's no comparison. Well, think about it for a moment. Would you rather be a follower of him who cannot lie, God himself and his son Jesus Christ, or would you prefer to take the road of being the follower of the father of lies? Because in life, brothers and sisters, it is one or the other. There is no middle ground. We are either a follower of Jesus Christ because we have placed our faith in him. We have repented of our sin. We've invited Christ into our life. And we're a child of God. John 1 and 12 says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believed in his name. We are either a follower of the Most High God because we have repented and invited him in, or we are a follower of the father of lies. That is how life boils down. And so I ask you today, as we sit here and close out our service, do you know him today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? I'm not asking you if you've been in church a few times. I'm asking you, do you know him? Has he changed you? Have you been born again? Are you a child of the Most High God? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if it isn't, you're not ready for heaven. That's not Jim's gospel, folks. That is what Jesus said. Many on that day will say to him, Lord, Lord. And he will say to them, depart from me. I don't know who you are. Why? Because they never acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you know him today, brothers and sisters? Do you know him as Lord?